Hello everyone, this is Dark Journalist. Today I have a special interview for you with author and publisher of the Forbidden Knowledge TV website, Alexandra Bruce. Now Alexandra will take us into the swirling clouds of the deep state blowout with an in-depth look at the Hunter Biden laptop scandal, with its revelations of President Biden's business collusion with China and Ukraine, and its implications for the fall of the Biden regime. What's the real reason for war in Ukraine? Please join us. Now. Alexandra, it's great to have you back. Of course, I've been watching and following all of your work at ForbiddenKnowledgeTV.com, and you're ahead of the game as usual. I know before we get into all the major politics on this, that you've been following this kind of resurgence of this concept of looking glass, which is basically like a CIA time travel in a way for CIA to look into the future. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it to get started?
Basically, there are parallel universes that are kind of self-correcting, or, you know, basically the deep state has access to this. And then I have an even crazier story. My friend, who is a retired special ops Marine, says that he saw this thing. He said it looked like that thing in Stargate. It was a 12-foot diameter.
Oh, yeah.
And that it was a holographic projection of timelines, history. And he said he went there. It was not about that. He just saw it. It was not what his thing was about. He was about to be deployed to Vietnam. He heard that they had had this thing since the 1950s. Now, this people who are posting now are saying that they found this thing in Baghdad during the Iraq War in the 1990s. But then they flub because in some of the stuff, it refers to the 80s, them doing stuff with it in the 80s. So we weren't there in the Iraq
right.
War. I mean, yes, there was CIA, there was stuff there in the 80s, but it wasn't the Iraq War yet, obviously. That's 20 years before that. So
it's pretty fascinating. What it reminds me of is the Thomas Townsend Brown tech, which I think there is a solid foundation there that he was looking into time travel thing. And he even had asked his assistants, and I talked to one of them who told me this, that he said, do you think that there'll be time travel in our lifetime? And the guy who was like in his early 20s said, yeah, I do. And he's like, you're right. We are going to have it. And he said, what would you do with it if you got it? And the guy said, well, I'd go back and save my sister who died when she was young. And he said, well, there might be certain rules against doing things like that. Mm-hmm. But the idea of traveling back in time is going to be something that, you know, we'll come into. So there is that real loop in there.
As I mentioned, somebody wanted to talk to me about Looking Glass, and I hadn't spoken to him. He's a filmmaker, and I hadn't spoken to him in like 10 years. And I said, Bill, I got to get off the phone. I got to talk about Looking Glass. He says, you know what? I saw it. I was like, what? He says, I can't even believe I'm telling you this because I was so programmed not to, but I think it's okay.
Wow.
And he said, yeah, that it was in an underground base in northern Colorado. It was an army base. He was a Marine. And he was just there to get instructions about his deployment. It had nothing to do with that, but he sort of, it was there and he saw it and he heard that it was from the 1950s and that it was had all these parallel universe holographic displays going on. And it looked like, he said, yeah, then I saw the movie Stargate and I flipped out because that's exactly what it looked like.
Alternate timelines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's pretty fascinating. But you think the stuff that's coming through there now, it seems to you, it's gotten your attention.
Well, it's gotten my attention. I there's no way of vouching for it. I don't vouch for it at all. But what? Okay, here are the things that we'll be able to see whether or not we're screwed. Okay, so on April 18th, they say unless we stop this, it's guaranteed. It's we're going to be so almost locked onto the course that basically two events happening in 2022 that we have to stop from happening. Otherwise, we're just going to have almost a zero chance of getting out of this thing that we're being railroaded into, that we've been railroaded into for the past few years. This new world order thing, this great reset, this collapsing of our economies for no good reason, other than that they just want to get rid of us, basically, right?
Yeah, well, they talk about the New World Order right in the open now.
Mm-hmm. Right, they just did last week, the global government thing in Dubai, right? And so they're just rolling with it now.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Well, I guess because they know that, you know, there's been so much fake news and calling everything a conspiracy theory, it just makes them.
Exactly.
So they have to maybe just roll with it.
They use all the terms now. They're like, there might be a false flag in the Ukraine.
Right, exactly.
What is this, InfoWars in 2008?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, that's NBC News or something. It's incredible. Well, I think this whole stretch is interesting. You have the ability to go into those deep places and find this information. And that's what you do with Forbidden Knowledge. And Forbidden Knowledge TV has become like the apex of the entire alternative side. So something interesting is going on the alternative side. You've got it.
For some reason, there's something, you know, because I don't really originate much of this content other, you know, I write about it and I summarize it. But I seem to spot things before a lot of other people, unless they're the originators of it, obviously. But so that, yeah, I find that I'm ahead of a lot of people by 1 to 3 days, 4 days often. It's interesting. And it's only just because it's something that it's a problem, I think, that I was born with. It's not intentional. I'm not trying to say anything. You know, it's just that I have this something about my whatever my time lock is. I think I'm always looking on the horizon. I'm always thinking about what that escalates into, you know?
Right.
So that things that I've been, you know, screeching and hollering about on my blog are finally people are saying, oh, yeah, that's what this means. You know, like I said that 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because I could see where it was going and it just seemed obvious to me. But, you know, I don't know. It's just a weird thing. Like I'm like a little ahead of my time. I always have been. And that's just, it's not good, actually. Timing is everything. And I'm ahead and nobody gets what I'm talking about. And then, you know, like 6 months or a year later, people jump on and it's like, I'm already on to the next thing, you know?
You're like, hey, I posted this a year and a half ago.
Right, exactly.
It's pretty amazing. It really is incredible. And I think all the writing that you do at Forbidden Knowledge TV makes it something unusual because, you know, it's one thing to put up the content and all the rest, but it's your interpretation and the curation of that material. It's very different. It makes it very unique in the whole space.
Right. Well, when I see people not doing that, it just looks lazy to me. Like you see, you know, websites that I like, you know, Creative Destruction Media, CD Media, they'll just post a video and they think that that's enough. That's not enough.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
You like to get in there and flesh out the details of where this thing is coming from.
Yeah.
But you've got that background in video and in writing and stuff. Mm-hmm. So when you come into this, it's a little bit different than somebody just deciding, hey, I have to kind of go for it, you know.
Yeah.
Start a podcast or something.
Right.
So let's go into one of the things you were early on, which is the laptop. Mm-hmm. And right now, speaking of things that are blowing up, this is really it. They've held this story down for a year and a half. The original story was always weird to start with, that Hunter dropped off his laptop, the president's son, to this computer repair place in Delaware, and that he leaves them there. And then the guy who's there, after a while, he has his own copies because he was working on the stuff. And then he ends up giving a copy of that laptop, one of those laptops, to Rudy Giuliani's lawyer. And Giuliani is, of course, the key man in Trump's reelection campaign. And then that story hits late in the election, October, surprise type time. And then it's completely blocked out. We know Twitter censored the New York Post and went over the top. So this story has been bubbling under, and then some of it came out. And I remember you were posting from a Chinese website.
Yeah.
And that turned out to be exactly the stuff that was on the laptop. So it was way ahead of time. And now we know there's not only, you know, unflattering porn stuff and all that, but there's a really crucial set of files I think it's 450 gigs of deleted files that Jack Maxey
knew stuff that just now they were able to recover data that had been deleted. But apparently, if any, you can't really delete it. If you know what you're doing, if you have a certain key, you can get into all the deleted data in a computer. And so that's what they did. They recovered an incredible amount. What is it? 450 gigs of more data. Like how much data can these computers store? What's going on here?
Right.
So I can go into some of even answering those questions, but there's a very interesting story behind, like, why did Hunter leave this computer there and not pick it up? So Mac Isaac, who owned the Mac store in Delaware, he had a policy of, like, if you don't, he called him several times, pick it up, it's done. There was apparently water damage on it, and he fixed it. There, he actually came in with three different hard drives, one which was toast, another one which he was able to fix right there, and then the one that was left behind was what got left behind. And so after 90 days, he had a policy of, like, well, I did this work, and so now I've given him 90 days to come get it. And he wouldn't get it after numerous notifications. So, you know, and in the course of rebuilding this hard drive, which had water damage, he had seen the stuff. And so he called the FBI. The FBI ignored him, repeatedly ignored him. And then, so then he was freaking because he's like, this, it's got child porn on it. And just having child porn in your possession makes you a criminal.
Now. Right.
So he had to do something to not be a criminal. And so he finally was able to give it to Rudy Giuliani. And then after that, some guy from the Northern New Jersey office of the FBI was came by and finally seized the laptop that he'd been trying to give them for, you know, over a year.
Wow.
And so there's an interesting, crazy backstory about why did Hunter do that? Is it just because he's a crackhead? And I think a lot of people have focused on him being a crackhead and a sex addict and, you know, incestuous and just all the really disgusting things that you see on the computer, which I'll get into more. It's very bad. It's very, very, very bad. And so, you know, you have Hunter having an affair with his, the widow of his brother. And then there's video of him having sex with his, the widow of his brother's 13-year-old daughter. And then you have him taking selfies and, you know, writing texts to the widow of his brother's sister, who he was also having an affair with.
Incredible.
So this is his brother's wife, their daughter, and her sister that he was having, you know, sex with.
Well, you said that you'd actually seen, and I know on this Chinese site, they had a good deal of that laptop on there, but some of that actually shows him in sexual situations with his niece.
That's what I was saying. His niece, I saw it, and it was on there for months. And that whole, it was gtv.org, is, I don't think it's up right now. They're saying it's down for maintenance. So they published a lot of the Hunter Biden videos on there. And there was one where you could see it was the niece and Hunter having, doing a weird sex act that I'm not even going to get into here. But, and so looking at all of that, and apparently, and then there was rumors about there were videos of Hunter having sex with Jill Biden also.
Oh, wow.
And it's like, what? And so this, all of this just reminded me of Kathy O'Brien.
Yes.
And of the Monarch, you know, program in MKUltra, the sex slave programming.
Right.
And then when you think that, like, if blackmail is the finest currency of the deep state, then sex slaves are necessary to that currency system.
Absolutely. Well, this family has that signature that you're talking about.
It really just reminded me of Kathy O'Brien. So if you ever talk to her again or have her on, it would be great to you know, ask her what her thoughts. She might even have actual face-to-face with Biden, too.
Yeah.
I don't remember Biden being mentioned in her book, but.
Yeah, interesting point. I do plan to talk to her again, and I would love to bring that up. Because it seems that there's a pattern there, which is, you know, at the core of around this family. Because all the scandals around Hunter basically is because he's blackmailable, and therefore Joe is blackmailable. But then Joe has done so much, and we talked earlier about what his daughter said about in her diary. And then they raided Project Veritas looking for information he had on that diary.
Right.
So
right. It was important. Like they needed to get that.
Yes. Yeah,
like they were willing to break down, you know, without a warrant or any, you know, do anything right with Project Veritas to get that. So I think there's something there. And then there's something else that I didn't talk about, which is John McGreevy. I don't know if he's still running or what's going on with him. He was deplatformed by Twitter. But he was he's a molecular biologist who worked at Fort Detrick. And was in, you know, he's a math genius. Basically, he's one of these people who's been working in the intelligence community since he was a teenager because he's such a brain, a math and science brain. And he says that he knows a lot of stuff. And he basically says, remember that the judge in the Michael Flynn case?
You mentioned it was Judge Emmett Sullivan.
So that guy apparently is a horrific pedophile. And he has a house in the same Delaware Beach community where Joe Biden does.
Oh, wow.
And that they would, Joe Biden is absolutely on video having sex with young girls with that guy. And that it's a whole ring. Our government is full of these people. Because blackmail and pedophile blackmail are the most powerful currency in that system. It's not about anything else. It's about how controllable you are.
Yeah. Well, and Biden definitely shows up on that radar. I mean, he was really young when he got into the Senate. He was one of the youngest senators ever. He's 29. But what's interesting, and one thing I think that kind of ties this together, is there was a recent hearing where Matt Gaetz went after the head of the cyber division of the FBI. Mm-hmm. And at one point, that guy says, we don't know where the laptop is, which is the most absurd thing I can even imagine from the FBI. How could they not know where Hunter's laptop is?
I mean, that's a lie.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's just like, I don't know. You know, somebody mm-hmm. knows.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. It was like, it was the most sniveling, pathetic performance I think I've ever seen.
Incredible.
Poor guy's like, ah, he was like sniveling, you know, sort of shaking in his seat there. It was horrible to watch.
It really, I mean, you know, I thought, this is incredible. This guy can't give him a straight answer.
Yeah.
And
pathetic.
Yeah. I also see that if the Republicans get back in power in the fall, if we get through all this till then, that they will. There'll be a lot of investigations around Fauci, around Hunter. I mean, that's how I see them coming
back.
Well,
hopefully, but you're going to have to get rid of a lot of the rhinos, you know, that like the Democrats run on the platform of death to America. Okay. There was even a thing during the Democratic National Convention that if you looked at the logo that they created, it actually looked like death to America.
Wow.
There was like the D for the Democrat and then the star, which is almost looked like the goat of Mendez.
Oh yeah.
Star kind of thing.
Right, right.
And you know, and then the American flag, it just looked like, oh my God, this is like death to America. And that's totally what it is.
Wow.
It's, you know, no what is it? No something, no wall, no Trump, no wall, no USA at all.
Wow.
Was the Antifa chant, and that's, you know, with this no border and any no USA at all. That's what we're living, the Antifa platform right now, which is the Democrat platform. And if you can't see that, then you can't see. You are just do not have the gift of sight if you can't see that.
Oh, the border's getting flooded.
Right. So that's the platform of the Dems. But the rhino, you know, the Republicans also have corrupt people. And, you know, the Republican Party used to be the previous seat locus of evil, right? When Bush Jr., when the Bushes were in, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when W was in, and the whole fake weapons of mass destruction and let's go kill a million Iraqis for no good reason.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, that's why I was not going to be a Republican back then, certainly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No question about it.
I hated the Republicans all my life because of stuff like that.
Well, with the Democrats, it's basically, it's not that they left the party. It's that the party is leaving them, the real ones. And what they're trying to do is court this weird, woke, very small group to control the whole thing.
See, but I don't know how small they are when you have this indoctrination going on in all the schools.
Yeah.
They have turned the youth into that. So it's like the 1960s on steroids is what's happening right now.
Right.
It's the same thing. It's the same war that's been being fought since World War I. It's just never been resolved. And I don't know what it's going to take to resolve it, because the real motives and things behind it are very secretive. Mm-hmm. But it does have to do with whoever controls the right to issue currency. That's a big component of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever their ultimate agenda is, and if that agenda has been hijacked, or if there is a schism within that agenda, which is what one, you know, retired intelligence guy tells me.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it doesn't take World War III to bring this to a head, hopefully but not. That's what it feels like, right?
Yeah, we're here. You know, this is revelation. We're living it. It's what a time to be alive. It's just, you have to get clear on what you stand for and fight for it, because nobody's going to rescue anybody. We have to save ourselves.
No question. Let's circle back to the scandalous content.
That is actually just the surface, because it's all of the deals with, 10% for the big guy, and actually other emails that refer to him having paid his father 50%. He wrote an email, I think it was to Ashley or to somebody, saying, you know, it's not easy having to pay 50% of my salary to dad. Well, that's all on there.
Amazing. Yeah. Oh, it's so damaging. The whole thing is so damaging. And no wonder they kept it down.
So here's the story. Here's the crazy backstory. I don't know if you know who Tori Morris is.
Yes.
But she was able to contact Hunter's favorite hooker in Delaware.
Oh, wow.
And so she was able to talk to her. And the hooker told her, he's really depressed and upset by this or whatever. And Tori said, why don't you convince him to sort of just leave his computer at the repair store?
Oh.
So that apparently, Tori takes credit for that.
Interesting.
And this guy, you know, Hunter has been pimped out by his father to be his bagman his mm-hmm. whole adult life, basically. And then this recent stuff with Catherine Herridge, which I'll go into later, really focuses on, yes, everyone's been hearing about Hunter Biden and all the pornographic, disgusting stuff on his computer. But really, James Biden has been on the take through his brother for decades. Like, remember back when we were Democrats, or when I was a Democrat? And, we would talk about, oh, the no-bid contracts in Iraq, you know, like the yeah. Halliburtons of the world who got these construction contracts and things. James Biden got one of those no-bid construction contracts. And what did James Biden know about construction, let alone construction in Iraq? Nothing. But he got like a multi-billion dollar deal.
Amazing.
In Iraq a long time ago. So this latest round of stuff that's really been talked about by Chuck Grassley in the Senate, and Ron Johnson might be the least corrupt guy probably in our government. I love him.
He's doing that.
He's doing the vaccine damage stuff. And
yeah,
it's just great. I love him. So they're saying, you know, yeah, we're focusing on Hunter still, but there's this whole other thing with James that's been going on too. It's not just Hunter. And then you look further and you find that the sister, Joe Biden's sister, is also on the take, you know.
Interesting.
So it's a whole family. It's, you know, completely family business. And that's what you get when you have somebody in office for 50 years or whatever.
Well, we had the weirdness with, Hunter's sister and her diary that got out, where she was like, I'm sexually messed up because I took showers with right. my father.
And that happened around the same time. And so people are saying that, yeah, this looks like it was coordinated. And then Hunter maybe talked to her about, you know, maybe this was sort of their revenge. So basically they framed their father.
Interesting. It's kind of like, whoever instigated him to go there, there's some leverage in him leaving the laptop there. I think we can sensibly understand that, because even like you said, even though he would be a crackhead and did this as a wild thing or whatever, they're sensitive about, you know, materials like that. When you're in politics of any kind, you're not going to leave those types of things around. It seems conscious.
Well, see, that's another thing. One of the things that Maxie found through, with help from the guys at Creative Destruction Media, they talked to him about certain DOD API keys or whatever to get into the servers there. And what they found is that absolutely, you know, from looking at the metadata, they could see that Hunter Biden had access to Pentagon servers. And he not only access, he had admin capabilities. So they try to make him out as this crackhead. No, he's actually an intelligent and actually functioning person when he's not, you know, high.
Right.
And so, you know, and so like, yeah, so he, another thing, and this was through George Webb, he says that a lot of these deals were done through, once again, you know, you've heard about the Hammer. Remember hearing about the Hammer, which was, it's a whole, basically it's a communications network, as I understand it. Mm-hmm. The Dominion platform was on it. And these, you know, you remember hearing Blackberries, you know, George Webb's always talking about the encrypted Blackberries.
Right.
That's what it is. And apparently the NSA cannot see stuff that's on this network.
Interesting.
Or on that particular one, the one on these Blackberries, these phone telephone communications.
I remember Obama used a Blackberry and.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So all of these, there's about 1,200 of these that have this, that are on this network. And Hunter Biden had one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he says Hunter Biden was actually germane to the Iran deal, you know, the pallets of cash to Iran.
Right.
And so he was involved in that. And that's that he did that deal on that BlackBerry.
Amazing.
And he said that the whole reason then also why Hunter Biden, remember how he was made an ensign in the Navy?
Yes.
When he was 41 years old, which never happens.
Yeah.
That, you know, he was like made an instant officer was so that he could have access to this BlackBerry network.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. That
gave that's what George Webb says.
Okay. It is weird. Granted that he became an ensign. I mean, that's something that, you know, it doesn't just happen overnight. You have to be in the service and really earn it.
Right. Exactly.
Amazing. So,
right. And then, of course, he blew it and he failed his drug test and was booted.
Right. he's very interesting because he was at the heart of the Ukraine Burisma.
Right.
Piece, and then here we are now, Ukraine Russia war. Just a little bit on this Ukraine Russia war. What do you think is happening there? And it does seem like a huge reach for Putin. At the same time, we all know the thing about NATO going to his doorstep and provoking this whole thing. But what do you think is really happening behind the scenes on this?
Well, it is about NATO, and it is about the Atlantic, you know, the Atlantic Monthly magazine, and that the Atlantic group is basically, it's headquartered in Ukraine. You know, I remember the Atlantic back in the 80s when I knew some friends, I had some friends who from Harvard who wrote there. And it wasn't about Ukraine back then, but now it is. It's all about Ukraine. It's all about Ukraine. And remember, the whole impeachment was all about Ukraine.
That's right.
So it's basically, it's a war against Russia. That's what NATO was always about, right? It was supposed to be protecting us from Russia. But it's actually not about protecting. It's probably just about creating a thing to nuke us and I don't know.
It's gone off the conspiracy radar into mainstream fact.
We're in sci-fi world now.
I was thinking the same thing when they came out with this new UFO report, which I'll ask you about, but The Sun, they did their own FOIA request and they got all these weird files back just in the last week. And the files are like, oh, yes, unwanted pregnancies from aliens and all this stuff. And supposedly the DIA is giving them this. And so we have kind of a freak show. It's almost like they're laying everything out all at once. And the people I see rising up in the middle of it are people like Musk, who was doing the whole thing with Starlink and the Ukraine. And the Ukraine was giving him, you know, thumbs up. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, that's a corporation. It's not a political group, so he can't grant them tools to fight their war. You know, it's just bizarre. What is he, a space president?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, and then the thing is, I'm almost thinking that his purchase of like a a controlling type of share there, at least for being on the board and being able to say things
on Twitter.
On Twitter, might have to do with the fact that Truth Social appears to have been sabotaged.
Yes. And what is going on with that?
Apparently, and this is again something I heard from Tori Morris, she said that the lead tech over there was a Lincoln Project guy.
Oh, wow.
So once again, it's like Trump with all the worst people around him.
Yeah.
As ever.
He's had a habit of that. They've targeted him that way. You know, you mentioned Trump. I'm just going to jump right in. He's pushing up now. It looks like Trump 2024. And it seems like legitimately that entire system is coming back behind him. And Biden has incredibly low numbers. He probably won't even live through a couple of years of his term. What do you see going on here? What's going on in the background? And again, Trump stepping in it at times with his promotion of the vaccine and things like that. What's going on there? Is that even a desirable situation?
Well, first, I think with this Hunter Biden laptop and everything, I don't think Joe is going to survive this. And that basically what we saw a couple of days ago when Barack went to the White House.
My God.
And he, you know, and Joe Biden was stumbling around, totally ignored by everyone. You know, yeah. He's the president and everyone's ignoring him.
It's humiliating.
Yeah, totally. And Cackles was looking very happy because I guess she's apparently the inside baseball there is that she's on the Obama team. There's like basically a schism in the White House. There's the Ron Klain team, which that's Jen Psaki was on. And so basically everything Ron Klain says is what she says, which is that, oh, the business dealings of Hunter and James Biden are private matters and have nothing to do with the president.
Right. You know?
And until they do, until the proof is revealed. And so that has to do with these bank accounts that they need to have access to. So it looks like, I think that Biden might not even be long. You know, they're going to get rid of him within the next, I think, few months, you know, two or three tops.
Oh, wow.
And that's what it looks like. And that's what a lot of people seem to be saying is that, you know, it looks like they're getting ready. You know, they were always going to do that, right? Because he couldn't talk 2 years ago, let alone now. So it was always going to be just that he was going to be replaced. But, you know, who knew that she was had an even lower approval rating and is even more retarded and ridiculous.
Oh, she's terrible. She's absolutely terrible. She's an extreme liability. And I don't know what's more frightening. It's Biden up there or her taking over.
Me neither. I think she's could be worse. I mean, like when you look at her speak, it's like, how did she ever pass the bar? Like, I don't think so. I don't think she passed the bar.
Yeah.
I mean, she literally talks like a 5-year-old or something.
Yeah.
It's impressive, unless she has a script.
Yeah. Terrible public speaker. One of the worst.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even going to go into it. Russia's a big country. It invaded a smaller country, which is bad.
Okay. They send her over to Warsaw. It's like, there's a great scene, too, where she's there with the Polish president and, you know, they're at a press conference and
she's like, bad, very bad.
What on earth? It's unbelievable. And then they say, what about, you know, inflation and all this stuff? And she turns to him like, do you want to answer that? And it's, you know, about American inflation. Like, what are you talking about? Pay attention.
Yeah.
So it's pretty bizarre. They've been trying to do trial balloons with Buttigieg and strange things like that. I mean, what do you think is going on here?
Well, Buttigieg is obviously, you know, he's a World Economic Forum young global leader. And that's another thing, a whole other thing to talk about. Like, how have they been able to pull all of this off? And it's this World Economic Forum young global leaders thing. Mm-hmm. If you look, Macron, Trudeau, you know, everyone in the top echelons of the EU government.
Jacinda.
Jacinda Ardern. Buttigieg is another one. So these are all World Economic. And then, you know, a lot of these other smaller people who are. So it was between that, you know, when you look at people like Javier Becerra, the guy who's the Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Yes.
And all the top people around him. they're absolute traitors. Mm-hmm. They're not Americans. They're globalists. There's, let me see, more things. They could impose lockdowns centrally, you know, from the UN. The UN can just arbitrarily lock you down now, you know, without us declaring a health emergency.
This is the transference of the sovereignty over to the world body.
This is the new world order.
Yeah. You know? Yes. This is very interesting because the emergency thing is how they've been able to implement so much of it. September 11th emergency. And they've raised the continuity of government COG piece, especially during COVID when Trump was in office and they thought there's no way to really get this guy out. Maybe we can pull a COG action here. So they started talking about it openly. You know, you had all these articles everywhere. Suddenly, hey, COG is a good thing. but what I see is interesting about all this is basically everything that they've been able to do is they have a very small base of support, like Trudeau in his own government, like the group that he represents is less than 30%, right? They're right around 30%. Mm-hmm. And usually that's not the case. Usually it's like 40 or above. Mm-hmm. So there's a very small minority that they rule with. And they, of course, he pressed the button on emergency powers during the trucker thing.
Right.
And it seems like just like with the Biden piece, they need an emergency in right. order to make this very unpopular approach palatable by saying we have the emergency authority to do it. And so it's kind of ruled by emergency globally now.
Right. But what's interesting is that the Constitution actually has something against it. I mean, if you think about it, the Constitution was written during the middle of a war. Okay.
Right.
If that's not an emergency, what is? So yeah. It was never, you could never suspend the Constitution over an emergency.
Right.
And that's so. But sadly, you know, we're this week, this Ketanji Jackson is going to be approved.
Yeah.
And she was asked, you know, is there any such thing as innate rights? And she says, no, I can't say that. And so it's like, isn't the Supreme Court supposed to be enforcing or the Constitution?
Right, exactly.
And it's like, that's like the first thing in the Constitution is that rights are God-given and innate.
Yeah. Well, they didn't have Republicans, Collins, Romney, and Murkowski supporting her, which is amazing considering how just anti-constitutional she is.
Well, but it's not amazing when you look at how those three vote all the time. Right. They're not Republicans.
Yes, you know? Exactly. But just that anyone from that party would represent them, you know, would go ahead and approve Brown is off the charts.
Yeah.
She definitely has to be the most radical justice they've ever had in there.
I mean, right. No, I mean, she's literally let people off for child rape and then they offend again and get arrested again.
Wow.
Like multiple cases like that.
Incredible.
Of child pornography and then they get arrested for child rape later. But they're bragging about child rape while they're doing the child pornography. They just weren't popped for child rape before. And has been, if you really look, there's a video that Greg Reese just made that I just put up on my site that goes into the record. It's like, it's shocking. It's not a mountain out of a molehill that's being made here. It's like, what? It's serious.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, incredible. You said you've been working extended hours, sort of fighting this machine that's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So where are we, like, where do you see things now? It's spring 2022. One of the things that Catherine Austin Fitz said on the program about a month ago was that we have less than a year to turn this thing around. Is that, do you see that the same way?
Yes, I do. And it's weird because it sort of lines up with this looking glass narrative as well.
Yeah.
So that's why it's compelling to me, because a lot of the things they're saying seems to fit. So I don't know, maybe it's a really good psyop. I don't know, but it's interesting. I do think that, I mean, basically because these insane people, these Satanists who are in our government, who are at war with Russia right now, actually want Russia to nuke us.
Right. It's so completely, I mean, this is a thing we've struggled with since the 50s mm-hmm. on this Cold War front. We had very close calls under Kennedy. Nixon reduces under SALT II. And then Reagan, you know, the really tense rhetoric, the movies like, you know, the Day After and Miracle Mile and all this stuff. And so we've dealt with the concept, you know, and the Mad Max post-nuclear thing and all the rest of it. Yep. And in the late 80s, we kind of disposed of the notion by Gorbachev and Reagan coming to the table and saying, here's the reduction. And that was supposed to be it. And they were even talking about zero nuclear weapons at one point. How did we get 40 years later back into this situation where a nuclear war is a real possibility?
Well, I think that because what we're dealing with is that World War II never really ended, and it's been going on ever since. As you know, as Farrell talks about how the EU is really just basically the Nazis reborn.
Yeah.
And the whole thing has always been like, remember the great dictator with Charlie Chaplin? It was like, I'm going to control the world.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are again. It's the New World Order all over again. It's just not all over again. It's just, it never went away. It's always been there. And so, you know, that the same banksters, you know, who financed Hitler financed the communist revolution in Russia,
mm-hmm.
and imposed communism on Russia. They're the same people that want to impose communism on the world right now,
mm-hmm.
with the Great Reset. That's what that is. It's global communism, right?
Right.
Oh, because the earth is dying. Oh, because, you know, they're going to make it be like, yeah, you can be as gay and as trans as you want. And here, have a virtual reality goggle and shut up, you know.
Here's your UBI.
Here's your UBI. Stay home and take all the drugs and kill yourself if the vax doesn't do it fast enough.
Right. Oh, it's incredible.
So it's all the same. It's the same. Basically, it's satanic aristocrats in Europe. That's really what this is. That's who's in charge and has been. You know, they're not happy with the American Revolution. And basically they what this thing is showing us is that maybe we haven't been sovereign for quite some time. You know,
right.
Some people say that it was the JFK assassination was the real beginning, you know, but then you go back to the Federal Reserve Bank. But that's one of the things JFK was trying to fight back with executive order, whatever it was, 11.
About the silver certificates.
Yeah.
Oh, no question. He stepped into that and allocated over $4 billion in American money that had nothing to do with the Fed. So it is. It's a shot across the bow on that. It's interesting, though, because to think about it from that era, because it is a coup. And then even now, you know, there was a conversation with Judge Napolitano, and he was talking about this conversation that he had with Trump. And Trump was going to release all these JFK records. Mm. And Napolitano was really psyched about it. Napolitano said then on the day that he didn't do it, you know, and we remember that because we were live streaming on that day.
Yes.
And Napolitano said that Trump said, I can't do it. They showed me what's in there. And you know, trust me, I can't do it. And Napolitano was like, Trump, you know, like you really have to do this. And he said, you wouldn't believe what's in there. If you were in my shoes, you wouldn't release it either. Which I found really remarkable because those records have been kicking around for a while, mm-hmm. but that makes you wonder on a deeper level, not just, you know, there's CIA information in there, but something a lot deeper, which threatens the entire core of their power base.
You know, again, it could be this apparent galactic super wave or what have you, this ascension event. And there are other people who like get on the Mike Adams show and talk about how, yeah, it's going to be, one guy thinks it's more like a Planet X type of thing that could cause the same kind of, you know, electrical disruptions, you know, when it enters the solar system.
Right.
And that basically they're just trying to kill everybody ahead of that so that it's easier to manage that massive disaster that's about to happen. So I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
Go a little bit deeper with that because it is really interesting because they spent so much time building up an underground infrastructure. Yeah. So when you get right down to it, you know, if they're doing that, at a certain point, they intend to use it. That reminds me of the nuclear thing that's going on now, where they're like, well, we might have a nuclear exchange, but hey, you know, I mean, we've never had relations with Russia at this level. You know, this is really the worst since the Cuban Missile Crisis, and they're actually at war.
Right. So the way I see it is that basically Putin is at war with the New World Order.
Yes.
And, you know, they've already been through the communism that destroyed their country. You know, like 100 million people got killed, and like an absurd amount of Russians were killed during World War II.
Right.
And right. They've been through the mill with these folks, okay, and clawed their way out of communism again. And so I think that's what's going on. And then that's all very fascinating because you have the Edgar Cayce and other people predicting that Russia was going to, you know, the Fatima prophecies and right. And your boy, why am I forgetting his name? The Austrian guy,
Steiner,
talking about the vaccine and also about Russia, right?
Yes, absolutely. Well, there's something definitely coming forward in terms of world development through mm-hmm. Russia. It's mm-hmm. just the mystery schools talk about it extensively. Cayce called Russia the hope of the world.
Right.
So you have to wonder about the level of, you know, kind of animosity that's going on between these two nations, especially since militarily, what do they spend in, you know, we spend in a week what they spend in a whole year. You know, mm-hmm. so we have a massive military compared to these guys. And the idea of what they're doing with Russia, putting them in such a position. And then at the same time, you know, you've got Putin really making this on a global stage kind of a mistake going into the Ukraine.
No, so see, this is again, so what they're talking about, and Lavrov announced it, I think, last week, is the multipolar world order, which is what BRICS is about. And this was something that Goldman Sachs wrote about 20 years ago.
Right.
So, and then when you look at who's in charge of the BRICS, it's all the same IMF people. So it's just basically the dollar, they printed too many dollars, got too corrupt. Yes, the United States spends in a week what Russia spends in a year, but Russia is ahead of us with hypersonic technology and all kinds of other things.
Right.
Because there's just so much grift and theft and corruption in the Pentagon, as we've seen.
Oh yeah,
you know, this since the 2020 election, it's just been this incredible revelation of just how every facet of our government is completely corrupt and unable to do its job at all.
Wow!
Basically, anything that happens now that is not that is the exception. You know, mm-hmm. as for example, when the Supreme Court rules that they can't force vaccines, it's like totally unexpected because everything has just been railroading us to this incredible end of the world tyranny scenario.
Right. There are these reprieves that show up.
Right.
And you're like, what is that?
Right. Like the Hunter Biden laptop.
Right, exactly. Or Boris Johnson says, all of the restrictions in England are gone just
right.
overnight.
Right.
After making the biggest case in the world for it. So it is strange. It's this stop-start thing. Mm-hmm. They haven't decided which way they're going to go, but it seems like the Ukraine thing provided them the cover, and then they lessened the op around the COVID thing because people had really had it.
Yeah.
But now you hear more about COVID. Now they're like, right. Oh, there might be something going on, and Fauci's back out there.
Yeah.
So now they want it back. Someone we're both familiar with, Peter Dale Scott, heavy writer on the deep state. He talked about the situation in Ukraine and talked about how Zelensky had links with the Nazi brigades that are there in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. That doesn't sit very well in this picture with, you know, Sean Penn and the Grammys and all these groups trying to say, get behind Ukraine and get behind Zelensky, and treating Zelensky like, I mean, this guy's an actor basically, right?
Yep. So, yeah, so the guy behind him is Igor Kolomoisky. So Kolomoisky is like one of the rich, I think the third richest guy in Ukraine. He owns a lot of the TV stations and stuff. He was a guy who produced and paid for, underwrote Zelensky's TV show for all those years.
Wow.
And Zelensky is now also worth $1.32 billion.
Incredible.
He has a $34 million villa in Miami, another, you know, $10 or $15 million one in Italy somewhere, and another one somewhere else. I mean, he, you know, like not even Brad, you know, he's an actor, right? He's a comedian. Not even Brad Pitt is worth $1.32 billion.
Right.
So something is going on there. So
yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a puppet for Kolomoisky, who is basically, yeah. So Kolomoisky also finances and underwrites the Azov Battalion and other neo-Nazi groups who are now part of the Ukrainian military. They are absolutely Nazis.
Alexandra, absolutely fascinating. Let's take this into overtime with an unexpurgated session going further on all these amazing topics. Now, everyone will find that shortly at darkjournalist.com. Make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter. Of course, Alexandra's work is available at forbiddenknowledgetv.net. Join us Friday nights for the X series. See you soon.